96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This is your afternoon update on Guardian. See Live Off the Record with Siobhan Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Kelly's Home Center, the National Insurance Board, the National Youth Guard, RF Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Siobhan Golang, your host. Join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 M on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, please feel free. Please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the 2300-5720. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can text us on BTC, or you can watch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I hope y'all are doing good. I was not able to listen to the PM speech live. I did not attend the dinner, not for any reason other than I did not do so, having myself been feeling of moving because of some laborious things I was involved with, but I had an interest in what was said, and as usual, I would try to get the copy of the PM and others' speech so that I could digest it in, you know, systematic fashion, taking my time to do so. And I haven't totally done so yet, but to the extent that I have read it, it was something else. It was something. Tone of the speech was clearly saying that there is an us and there is a them. There is an us, the government, the people of the Bahamas, and there's those people who are there for their own selves, care or regard for us. That's the tone of the speech. In fact, there's language alluding to that. I'll read for you what the Prime Minister said in giving some history of the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the, you know, he said, but if you'll permit me a brief look backwards, I do believe history has something to teach us. because even in the earliest years of Freeport's history, following the 1955 signing of the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement, both the promise and peril of that arrangement were apparent. After all, that arrangement was forged between a colonial government and an American businessman. Government did not have the resources to develop Grand Bahama into a full-fledged economy, and so offered extraordinary concessions to those who did, ceding significant sums looking to turn profits. People like me and people like you were neither present nor meaningfully represented in the rooms where this agreement was negotiated. And he goes on to acknowledge that Freeport could not develop as it did without that. But he went on to say, and I quote, "But perils of ceding authority to investors," listen, so this is the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, "but the perils of ceding authority to investors with no particular commitment to our people or our country, those were also present nearly from the start." Listen to the last words. "Those were also present nearly from the start." And throughout the speech, as he, as the Prime Minister, recounted somewhat of the history of Freeport, inclusive of the famous, or some might say infamous, bend or break speech by Sir Lyndon, it is clear. I'm sorry, but the word I would impolitely use is disdain. Politely use is disgust for the present situation is collision. I can't imagine that there is now a working relationship between the government of the Bahamas and the Grand Bahama Port Authority, given the way he framed his talk. I mean, he pointed out even the extent to which, the people who have come to inherit, the people who come to inherit the port, this is the children, the St. George's and them, been a bit less than what they ought to be. So let me tell you, so we're going to talk about that today, afterward. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we have a special guest. We're going to speak with them, but we'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
That program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We trained to help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of purpose and a sense of patriotism.
To learn more and apply, visit nyg.bahamas.gov.bs.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So the other night I was laying down thinking about what I could be grateful for. But I had earlier in the day watched a gentleman had something thrown in his eyes, some acid and some other chemicals, and he was blinded for a time. And as I thought about it, I said, you know what, boy, it is something to be able to see. I mean, we don't necessarily think about our eyes that much, but boy, what a difference the world becomes when we have problems with it, or we may lose our sight, etc. And so I am so delighted to have with us today Dr. Dawn Russell Hermans, MBBS, FACS, Consultant Ophthalmologist, General Ophthalmology, Medical Retina, and Vitreoretinal Surgery are her specialties. And we want to talk to her about her practice because I'm intrigued to learn from her what she does and the ways in which so many people may find themselves in need of her services. Welcome, Doc.
Afternoon. Welcome. Thank you for having me here.
I'm so sorry, but thank you for your patience
today. That's absolutely fine. Not a problem.
Doc, I was given that little account because it was so true. Now, you know, I suppose it's a wonderful thing when you don't have to pay attention to your eyes because they're working well, right?
Exactly. You're absolutely correct.
But you know, as we get older, some of us, we come into, well, you know, I don't see as well, I need these glasses. And then other people, I can't tell you the number of Bahamians who I encountered, for instance, on my way from either Cuba or someplace else because they had eye issues, they had to be with cataracts, all kinds of
Correct.
Things. My mother being one of them. So tell us about yourself first. Tell us about your journey to this level of expertise you now have.
Yes, so I am an ophthalmologist with specialty training in medical retina and vitreoretinal surgery. I am actually the first Bahamian retina specialist, the only Bahamian retina specialist at this moment. We're hoping I can encourage more people to go into this field because it's one of the things, like you mentioned, taken for granted. And the thing about it is it's something that we use and we need every day to function, to make a living, to just get by. But unfortunately, it's taken for granted. What I do is, and I've been back in the Bahamas from December of 2013. I returned to the Bahamas after specialty training in the various areas. And one of my passions before leaving was diabetic eye disease, because as a intern or senior house officer at the Princess Margaret Hospital, I saw a lot of patients literally going blind from diabetic eye disease. There are other common things that happen in the Bahamas that also plague us, but diabetic eye disease is one of the major ones. And so that was my passion. And so that led me to a career in retinal disease.
So okay, that now I want you to help us understand some things. So
sure.
there's an ophthalmologist and there's an optometrist and maybe there's some other things. You know, we know eye and nose.
Yes.
Nose specialist. Yeah. So what's an ophthalmologist compared to an optometrist compared to something else?
Yeah, so I'll start with there's somebody that actually makes the glasses and puts glasses together, and that's like an optician. And then
right.
there's an optometrist that's been trained to also deal with glasses and making glasses and refracting patients to come up with the proper prescription for glasses. And they also are like a primary care type of medical doctor, primary care doctor that looks at primary diseases of your eyes. An ophthalmologist is a medical doctor that's done medical school training and then done additional training in eye diseases and eye surgery. And so an optometrist may diagnose diseases and look at things at the primary level, but anything that requires treatment or surgery would then be dealt with by an ophthalmologist who's a medical doctor trained to do surgery and treat eye diseases.
Okay, now I did a little bit of biology, so I know a little bit about the retina.
Yes.
But tell us about the retina and tell us why it's so important that people have specialists who can do issues of the retina.
So if you imagine your eye is exactly like a camera, and just like a camera has a film and has a lens, so does your eyes. So the film is basically equivalent to your retina. And the lens of your eye is something that's equivalent to, like, if you develop a cataract. The cataract is going to affect the lens of your natural eye. Getting back to the retina is very delicate. It's sort of like if you know your eye's a ball. It's shaped like it's a sphere. The inside of the eye is lined with this very delicate, fragile tissue called the retina. If you were to think of the consistency of retinal tissue, it's like if you know, like a tissue paper and you wet it, that's how fragile your retina is. And there are blood vessels running through it, there are nerve endings running through it. There's an optic nerve that can become damaged from glaucoma, and then the blood vessels within your retina can become damaged from diabetes.
And the retina is where that image impression is made.
Exactly.
Right?
It's connected to the brain.
Yes.
Okay. So it's essentially, it's really nerve tissue. It's an extension to your eye and allows you to see.
And now one of the most common things I have ever heard about the retina as a problem is the detachment of it. But what are the various kinds of things that could happen to the retina and to the eye in general?
Exactly. So one of the very tragic things that can happen with the retina is it can become detached. That means that it's no longer adherent to the walls or to the structure of your eyeball itself. It's fallen off of your eye, so to speak. It's detached. And so it's not in connection with the brain. So once your retina becomes detached, you lose your ability to see, essentially. It's manifested in symptomatically as you can have floaters, or mainly when the retina is detached, it's a dark curtain or veil that you would see as a symptom, or you lose vision completely, like a total blackout in a lot of cases when it's totally detached. And that's an ophthalmic emergency, because the lens, it's not connected to the brain or to your eyes, not in its anatomical position, the less likely you are to recover your vision. And there are different types of retinal detachments. There are retinal detachments you can get as you get older, which are easier to treat. And then there are retinal detachments that can happen in the realm of diabetic eye disease, which are much more complicated to treat.
And the reattachment is a procedure.
Correct. Yes, it's a surgical procedure done in the operating room. In other parts of the world where I trained, it would be done under local anesthesia with some sedation. Here in the Bahamas, I kind of have augmented it for the population, and I do most of my cases under general anesthesia, because, like, even for me, I always put myself in that situation. For that type of surgery, you need the patient to be very still, and you don't want to have patients moving or feeling anything. The surgery itself for retinal detachment is usually an hour and a half, 2 hours. And so to expect somebody to lay there, not move, and to be compliant with what you're doing is a stretch for our culture.
Yeah, you could put me to sleep.
Yes, yeah, so I do it under general anesthesia. Yes.
And what are you seeing more often than not with eye issues in the country, and why? Like, what are you seeing?
So mostly diabetic eye disease, and that's actually a term that encompasses the type of retinal detachment that you get with diabetic patients, but also you can have a type of swelling of your retina that's called macular edema. You can also get cataracts that are specifically formed as a diabetic. You can get a particular type of cataract. Among other problems are glaucoma. And as well, another major one that's been happening a lot recently are strokes in your eye from having hypertension or high cholesterol levels. We're seeing a lot of that recently as well.
Wow. Well, in the young population, even the children, anything you're seeing that's concerning you?
What's concerning is that the patient profile for diabetic retinopathy has also infiltrated the younger demographic. So there are younger patients also facing that. Other than that, there are also retinal issues that can develop from patients who have sickle cell disease. Another thing that we're seeing in the young population, well, the very, very young population, the premature babies also can develop, if they're born really, really early, before 28 weeks gestation, they can develop what's called retinopathy of prematurity, which is similar to diabetic retinopathy that you get and is treated in a similar way. But the more devastating thing with this is the screening is really important with this population of patients, because if you miss that period where you can treat it, then you can have a child be blind. That's another very concerning thing. When I came back to the Bahamas, I was very instrumental in restarting the retinopathy of prematurity screening program at the Princess Margaret Hospital, because you saw kids who lost vision for something that could have been prevented by basic screening practices in the hospital.
Now, we're going to talk about Breck Stay soon, but I'm going to please ask you the pure curiosity I have had for so long.
Yes.
Like, you know, you see some people, and even you might see in yourself, we start out with these very white aqueous, right? That's how the white eyeballs are very white, but then they start to brown over time. What is that about?
So the browning over time is something that happens in our population because we're melanated, we're black. And so that's usually what we call racial melanosis. So that can just be something due to race. Things can be, it can also become discolored from dryness over time, from sun exposure. Okay. What's common in this area, aside from having that a lot of us get, you can also get what we call a pterygium, or like a fleshy growth that grows over like the colored part of your eye. A lot of patients think that that's a cataract, but that's actually called a pterygium. And that's mainly related to sun exposure.
Okay, all the people who know that, just raise their hands. My hands are raised.
Yes.
And I wondered what it was, right?
Yes.
I was afraid it was cataract.
No, it's a pterygium.
Okay, there you go.
Yes.
So you helped me with that. You helped me with that one. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Now, most times we know how to take care of our hair. People tell us, we know how to take care of this part of the world. But things like, other than people saying drink the carrot juice, how do you take care of your eyes?
By having regular comprehensive eye exams, because some of these diseases, like glaucoma, for instance, you may not have symptoms right away. In a lot of cases, you don't have any symptoms that can prompt you to go and get checked. The international recommendation is that after the age of 40, you start having eye exams every 18 months, or 18 months to 2 years. And that's for those who have no medical illnesses or no issues at all. If you have diabetes or if you have any sort of like hypertension, you need to be checked regularly. The other conditions that we see commonly here in the Bahamas that also warrant regular comprehensive medical eye exams are things like lupus as well, and other inflammatory conditions that patients may have, because sometimes you may see manifestation of those initially in your eyes. And so that is also a reason to be seen regularly. Other than just getting it checked, the other thing that you want to do is live a healthy life, healthy choices, healthy diet, different things like that, staying hydrated, aside from just drinking carrot juice, just having a broad vitamins that you'll take every day, like a multivitamin, that's also good in terms of keeping eye health. Exercising, all of the basic things that are healthy for other parts of your body also benefit your eyes as well.
Because we have muscles in our eyes, right? So I was told that
correct,
you should, this thing you can do to help strengthen your eye muscles. So I started doing stuff, right?
Okay. Yes, there are eye exercises that you can do. And definitely preventative things like avoiding eye strain. Not overusing tablets or computers or whatnot. And, some people, that's their job. You're required to be on screen.
I was going to say.
Yes. But there are things that you can do. There's a 20-20-20 rule that allows you to kind of remember to take breaks. So the 20-20-20 rule is where, as you're using your tablet or even if you're reading or using of screen work, every 20 minutes, you want to look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds just to sort of refocus and give your eyes a little break from whatever you were doing.
Okay, 20-20-20. I learned that. A lot more today.
Yes.
So there is a Brex Day coming up. What is that about?
So Bahamas Retina and Eye Care Services is the private practice of which I'm the consultant ophthalmologist for. That was started 10 years ago when I returned to the Bahamas. It started in May 2014. And our slogan from then to now is promoting better vision and health in the Bahamas. And so tomorrow we will have an open house where we're celebrating, you know, we're so grateful to God for having us be maintained for all of this time. And we're having an open house where we can give appreciation back to our patients and to the public, where we're previewing a lot of our basically advanced eye testing that can be done there. We're doing virtual visual field testing. And what that is the visual field is at a big machine where you're sitting in a dome and you're pressing a button. With the virtual visual field machine test, you actually have on a virtual field headset and you do the visual field that way, and that screens for glaucoma. Another testing modality that we're going to be doing tomorrow is a vision screening test. And that's a little device that sorts of anybody that you put in front of the machine will tell you what type of prescription you have, if you have any sort of eye muscle or any sort of anything that dictates or that requires you to have a medical exam. The machine tells you this person has ABCD and they recommend whether or not an exam is needed. And so that's a starting point that I do with all of my patients so that it kind of directs me as to what tests any particular patient is going to need. Other things we're going to be doing are tonopen or eye pressure checks. We're also going to have our little camera where we can take a picture of the inside of your eye, of your retina. And then we are going to be premiering our eye spa experience where anybody who has like tired, achy, itchy eyes or they have different conditions like styes or blepharitis or whatnot can come in and have a preview of the Brex Eye Spa experience, which is like an eye massage and other treatments, therapeutic treatments around your eyes.
Doc, I eye spa? I had no idea. Massage my eyes?
Yes.
I'm not going to be an asshole, but man, I'm telling you, you know. And you being modest, Doc, let me read off here. We got free virtual visual field test for glaucoma, free open eye pressure checks, free vision screening test for various eye diseases, free rapid retina photo test. You got premiering the new Brex Eye Spa experience, free 2-minute preview, and then you got free giveaways and even free food and drinks. Doc, come on. 10 years. We're celebrating 10 years, yes. Folks. That's the Bahamas Retina and Eye Care Services. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so that's tomorrow. And the address of the office is?
In Sandyport.
Sandyport.
You can't miss it because we're just going to be attending in front of our office. And it's in the back where the Sandyport gas station is. So you cannot miss it.
And this is all from?
From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay, so that's lots of time, folks. And if you want more information, you can contact
676-2020 or you can email us at brex@bahamasretina.com.
Wow.
Yes.
And so, but Doc, you sound, this is all, this 10 years is, 10 years is a lot of time, but it's not a lot of time. But you have such progressive services. What are you looking forward to for the future?
Oh, we have a lot of things planned for the future. We have recently opened our new office in Exuma, so we'll be able to offer these great services there as well. And we're thinking of other islands. We're going to, keep that little secret for now, but there we have big things.
Hold on. You didn't fly over Grand
I'm going to put a big wink there. Not quite, but you'll know in a couple months our plans.
All right,
yes.
Well, we really, really appreciate you. Congratulations again. And Doc, you got to come back and spend a couple hours. Let's talk about these things
Definitely.
Help educate this public and what have you. So you just let me know when you're available.
Most definitely. There's just one other thing that I wanted to mention at operations. We're doing a fun run walk. What I started 7 years ago to sort of make an example of promoting better vision and health is we do a 1 million step challenge every year for 100 days. We do 10,000 steps a day. And so we've been doing that from March 1st. So on Saturday, on May 11th, we're doing a fun run walk. It's also starting in Sandyport, where we can all get the 10,000 steps that day together.
Okay, so when did 10,000 steps a day start?
We started it March 1st, but we're having a group activity on Saturday where we're all going to go and do a fun run walk. Saturday, May 11th, starting at 7 a.m. Family, friends, everybody can come along, and we all are going to walk to Goodman's Bay and back to our Sandyport office.
Okay, well, I'm almost sure I walked about 7,000 steps a day, so I'm going to pretend I didn't do all the 10,000 steps. So for the balance of the period, I'm going to join you all and do my 10,000 steps.
Please do. And if anybody wants to register, they can email us at brax@bahamasretina.com or call 676-2020.
A question here for you says, good afternoon, Mr. Lankin. You asked Does she accept all major insurances?
We do accept most of them. There are one or two that we don't accept, Kalina, but we do accept Bahama Health, Atlantic Medical. My office manager is not sitting on the side of me right now, but there are other ones, yeah. The major one that we don't accept is Kalina, but we accept everything else.
Okay, let me see here, just to make sure I get all your questions in. That's that. It says, great show as usual. I work as a architect draftsman from 1999 up to present day. These computers jack my eyes right up, and using my cell phone, jacking my eyes up even more. Asks your guest if any natural wash I could use for my eyes, and don't say urinine from Cat Island. I'm not into that.
Tell him no bodily fluids. No. What he can get is if he goes just any over-the-counter artificial tears, preferably preservative-free. I usually write free artificial tears, and that should help. There's one called Refresh Digital, not to be advertising any particular one, but they marketed that for like digital use, and so that in a preservative-free format is a good one that he can get over-the-counter. If he can't get it locally, he can check on Amazon. He should be able to source it there. And we also have it at our office as well.
Just before you leave, sometimes you might feel like you want to open your eyes, but your eyes ain't cooperating with you to open wide enough. Mm-hmm. Is that a symptom? Is that a like related maybe the sun and that kind of stuff or what?
That can be a form of fatigue. That can also happen as we get older because the muscles and the ligaments of the structures around your eyes over time become less. They become weak over time. So that can be one thing. If it's happening and progressing like throughout the day, then that's something that you want to have checked out because then it could mean another serious condition. But eye compresses, you know, different things that we will be offering at our eye spa. Those are things that can help with tired fatigue eyes as well.
There you go. I'm so glad you could join us today. And we again congratulate you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say in advance, I look forward to your coming back so we can talk some more about all that you have going on, all these eye issues that people have going on.
For sure.
Dr. Dawn S. Russell Hermans, MBBS FACS. Don't forget, Brex Day is coming up.
Yes.
Tomorrow, right?
Thank you very much. Nice talking with
you. Likewise. Okay. All the best. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Braces Grounds ignite with Bahamian talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242, Iron Store, Jovi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Chad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I try to understand about this fight.
Tell somebody. I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely got to tell somebody. We got to prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I began talking about the speech given by the Prime Minister to the Chamber of Commerce's dinner last in Bahama. A speech in which it is clear to me, and I imagine to others, that the Prime Minister and the government has no interest in mincing pleasantries with the owners of the Port Authority. And, you know, the Prime Minister gave an accounting of what led up to their demand letter, which suggests that it wasn't something just sprung upon the port. He says that he met with the port. He said, well, he didn't say he met. He said, by July of 2022, I decided to meet with the main shareholders of the Port Authority myself. So then he said he decided to meet with them. But he just said he decided to. That's right. He said, and I let them know that we didn't intend to let the stagnation and deterioration of Grand Bahama continue, that we were prepared to enforce the reimbursement clause of the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement. He said, a month later, August, we followed up with a letter advising that we planned to send the first invoice for reimbursement in October of 2022. Which we did on the third day of that month. He said, pardon me for walking you through these details. I want to establish the Port Authority had more than ample notice, and yet they still felt no compulsion to persuade us they intended to be true partners of progress. Hear that? He said, look at the facts. Right? And so he then talked about the breaches in the seawalls along the Grand Bahama waterways. Look at the unusual public ramps. Fishermen need to lower their boats into water. Vision of the public beaches. Look at the area some call the ghetto, just yards from the Pink Building. Look at the bridge leading into East Grand Bahama, still not fully repaired. He said downtown Freeport was dead for 20 years with empty lots and derelict buildings. It is our administration that is bringing Freeport downtown back. We are addressing the dysfunction, all the legacy issues they have neglected. He says, and you know, some things are really a big deal to me. And then he says they sold the West Sunrise Highway between the International Bazaar and Princess Properties. They sold a highway to a private developer, leading to the bazaar's deterioration. I am going to comment on some of these things. I am going to comment on some of these things because I happen to have very intimate knowledge of some of these things. I will reserve that. It says, during Dorian, they opened a nonprofit to distribute donations sent by others. All the decades of concessions, and that is what they contributed when we were at our lowest moment. He says, and let's talk about home repairs for a moment. Do you know that there have been multiple cases where the government has tried to help with home repairs, but the Port Authority has blocked the help, insisting they cannot permit if the contractor or homeowner is behind on licensing fees or service charges? He says, how can people who have who behave like this be our partners? This is our prime minister in a speech. I'm saying to you, I'm trying to tell you the tune of his speech. How can people who behave like this be our partners? He said, there's just too much evidence that they care more about their infighting and shareholder lawsuits than our people. Because this is what happens when cities are treated like family heirlooms, passed down without a thought as to whether those inheriting are willing to serve the interests of our communities over their profits. He said they divested themselves of key assets sold for private profits, the very assets that would allow them to develop the economy in Freeport as they are required by law to do. They sold the road building company, the harbor company, the utility company, the power company, and even the sanitation company. So they were happy to offload the airport to my predecessor, who somehow consented for the Bahamian taxpayer to take on the liability of rebuilding the airport. So when the Port Authority owned all of these assets, they had a credible argument to make to investors. Extraordinary speech. What do you think? What do you think? I don't know how much of it you've heard. I certainly have not provided, I've given you all of, but very interesting. And a part of the speech, the prime minister talks about the fact that things are finally happening in Freeport. He talked about the cruise port. He says, from the Carnival port to the shipyard expansion to a new MSC port, big things are finally in motion. Construction of the Freeport Health Campus is underway. The airport is too. So yes, the Port Authority is the licensing entity, but we're doing the work, and none of the parties or promotions they're running now can erase a record of neglect. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break. Take a step, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, you're not alone, holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday. We're looking at the Prime Minister's speech in Grand Bahama. I call it extraordinary. I mean, not extraordinary in its tone and in some of its content. Extraordinary as to how history is perpetuated. Steck says, good afternoon, Ms. Lang. Good show as usual. As a businessman from Freeport, I thought the Prime Minister's speech was a home run out of the park. Tone was perfect. We hit it on all of the points. It seems to Lang, the GBPA was very efficient in collecting their money so they could be efficient paying their bills. Very proud of our Prime Minister. Kudos. There's that Dexter, okay? Let's see here. This text says, this demand of the government to deport has Simon Wilson written all over it. Andros, Kerr Island, and many other islands are dead. What is the government doing to revitalize those islands? I'm tired of the lip service by Davis, says that texter. This text says, if the government is so fed up of the port, move out of Freeport proper and develop the city that they envision. So far, Peter is... That's interesting. That's interesting. Mind you, you know, there was a time when practically every government building you could envision in Freeport was owned by the Grand Bahama Port Authority. You know, the police building was owned by the Port Authority. The port building was owned by the Port Authority. If you looked in the Freeport area, saving and except for two primary schools, the Hawksville High School was owned by the Port Authority, you know, and well, the airport was, but these were all part and parcel of the deal, I guess. The east and west portions of Grand Bahama do not reflect a visionary or development mindset of the government of the Bahamas. And this is spanning my administrations, right? FNM, PLP, right? Those two portions of the island in comparison to Freeport, not in terms of development. And the Prime Minister says that we give a great deal of consent. So let's look at some things here. Now, see, honestly, anyway, I want you all to do something for me, man. I'm asking y'all what your thoughts are about the speech. I'm not gonna carry this water today. I'm not gonna do it. I'm serious, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. But let me say one thing, right? So the Prime Minister, we have a call on the line. Let me take that call. That might be Salvation. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Salvation, Mr. Lang, you're looking for salvation?
I am looking for salvation today.
Paul says salvation of the Jews, you know.
Jesus Christ. Well, please, Jews, bring me salvation.
But even the Jews looking for salvation now, because they try to get rid of Hamas. But help me to understand this, right? Basically, that this was not something that was sprung upon the Port Authority, that he had informed them since 2022 that he was coming after his so-called money, right? And but in it, he said at the beginning of his speech that he's going to skip all of the details, which I thought was really, really crucial to understanding how you were able to, you're asking for what? Reimbursement, he's saying? So is it the Prime Minister is saying that the government would have spent these monies and therefore is asking the port to reimburse them for what they would have spent?
In fact, he would be, if the Prime Minister said he's invoking that particular clause in the Hawks-McGregor Agreement, I think it's 38B or C or D, one of the two. But that agreement says you are to be reimbursed to the extent that your expenditure exceeds the revenue collected in the port area.
And so, but has he proven that? Has the Prime Minister proven that? Because would he reference dilapidated buildings, seawalls? Did the government repair these seawalls?
I don't know. The reimbursements relate to staff and those kinds of people in the Freeport area. I was confused about the downtown development, right, redevelopment, and what the government was doing. Because can I explain to you all what's happening downtown Freeport? So, in the downtown Freeport area, Solomons either leased or bought, I think they leased a building, which what was essentially the hub of downtown, because we used to go to Pantry Pride in this plaza, we used to go to Winn-Dixie in this plaza. So, Solomons, this plaza is owned by the Butlers. And apparently, I don't know, they had to have gotten some, and well, you get concessions anyways in the Freeport area for building and bringing in your supplies conditionally duty-free. But they redeveloped that plaza. Solomon's is in the plaza. All the other things that were upgrades in that area, it's not a lot, but it's been something, was done by the Port Authority.
Really?
I ain't asking nobody. So I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to figure out, because there's a Kipling building occupies a lot of downtown. That building has been acquired, I think, by the University of the Bahamas for redevelopment. So it hasn't been anything much done yet to it, but it's being done there. The Savoy building is a derelict, dilapidated building. Still there, derelict and dilapidated.
There's the port building. The other parts of the downtown area, there's nothing significant that's happened to those areas in terms of development. The First Caribbean International Bank renovated for its own purposes the Barclays. So I'm like, these are private initiatives. There's an old abandoned Wendy's building right on the side of Kentucky, and nothing happening there.
Yeah. I'm not too much with Freeport, but I mean, just hearing his speech and what he's saying, that the port has divested themselves of all of these services, and because of them divesting themselves of these services, this has cost the government more. Is that what he's saying?
Well, no, he's saying it caused the port to look less attractive as an investment partner. But let me ask you a question. Sir, you're on the show. If you own a business, you own a business.
Right.
Right? You own the business. Mm-hmm. It is, meaning in law, it is an alienated asset of yours.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Can the government tell you can't sell that?
No. That's my business.
But if you have to get permission from the government to sell it, then it can say, don't sell it, right?
Right.
So for instance, if you want to sell something to foreigners, do you know there was the investment board?
Right. There are some stipulations.
But generally speaking, price system, the government doesn't tell Chivago Line, doesn't tell you whether you can sell your asset or not to somebody. True or not true?
That's true.
Now, even if you are a quasi government entity that is owned by that has been given concessions by the government, for example, did not Saul Kirzner sell Atlantis to the fund that now owns it? True or not true?
I mean, I think he was indebted to them, and because of
No. This is a straightforward question.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Did not Atlantis get substantial concessions from the government?
They sure did. They sure do.
Absolutely
sure
did. Mm-hmm. Absolutely did. Bahama had several owners also pass hands and got substantial concessions from the government. True or not true?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is Albany, I think, gets concessions from the government under any number of things, right? So what I'm saying is private profit-making entities in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, foreign and Bahamian-owned, get concessions from the government under the Industries Encouragement Act, the Hotels Encouragement Act, the Export Manufacturers Act, a number of acts. They make lots of profits, some of these entities. Nobody knows how much money they make. Nobody inquires about it. And still, the government of the Bahamas, if they sell what they want to sell, the government of the Bahamas doesn't stop them. True or not true?
That's correct.
Okay. Why is the port different?
Yeah.
And might I know, every asset that the Prime Minister indicated was sold, as was indicated in the House of Assembly, I think it was by the leader of the opposition, every one of those assets was sold when the government was in office.
Right.
Mm. Right? Yeah,
if a company wants to divest themselves of a particular asset for a particular reason, maybe they thought it was not profitable or whatever. Even the government themselves, they outsource
even if they sell it because it's profitable, wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I'm just saying that. But I mean, my question is, did that impact the government's bottom line? By selling that to the government, pay more money how did that affect the government in terms of its revenue?
That's a very good question. I will tell you, there are attorneys in Freeport who had queried and questioned this moving, this selling of the assets, more so because I think they were talking about what it meant to the port as a municipality, and that seems to be what the Prime Minister is alluding to. But But I don't see how we now construct this narrative as if it is malicious for a private entrepreneur, foreign though they may be, to sell assets that they own, especially when they do it under the auspices of the government of the Bahamas.
Yeah, you know, they have to, I mean, they have to get government approval in order to sell it. But in regards to the airport, you know, he said, okay, I think they sold the airport to Hutchison, right?
Hutchison and the Port Authority owned the airport.
Right.
Hutchison and the Port Authority came into a place of really impasse with respect to the airport following Dorian. No, none of them were moving to do anything about it. And, you know, you can't have an airport sitting down, dysfunctional, doing nothing, and expect that an island is going to grow and develop.
Yeah, but you know, because you know the port is only responsible for Freeport, you know, but the government is responsible for Grand Bahama, you know. So to me, that's a non-issue.
And the airport was sold for $1. Now
for $1, $1.
But in order for you to tell me that was a dumb decision by the Minister administration, and I don't know, I have to say. You have to tell me that the $1, right? That you have to tell me that the value of that airport versus its liabilities,
right,
it puts the airport underwater. No pun intended. That's what
right.
you have to tell me.
Yeah.
Because if the net value of that asset is greater than the liability dollar, then you won.
You want, you know, I mean, that airport has the potential of making the Bahamas government millions, billions of dollars.
Absolutely.
I mean,
according to them,
they're saying that Freeport, along with its cruise industry and its airlifts, in the next couple of years, will bring in almost 9 million tourists, okay? And so that is revenue that is coming directly to the government. So the government
absolutely.
Is not going to lose anything. By if they manage it properly, if they don't stack up with all their cronies and whatnot, if they do it like how they do NAR and whatnot, and have a private company managing it, the government will profit from that.
But the government said it's going to develop the port through a private public partnership. It got monies to do so. We were told from the Saudis, from the United Kingdom's import-export thing. And so they were supposed to be funding this. So that's not going to cost the government of the Bahamas anything. In the end, you get this multi-million that can generate revenues for you decades to come. If,
right.
as you say, it is
yeah.
managed properly.
Yeah.
Right?
My challenge is,
like the narrative that is spun here requires objectivity to assess. Because, see, we already know the government has an issue with the port.
Right.
Okay, so clearly then you then say, okay, well, then if the government provides a narrative and they reflect its interest in ensuring that it puts a reflection on things that it desires.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is now left for the rest of us to say, okay, I hear that, but what about this?
I was pleasantly surprised when they've been, you know, like, he got a rounding applause. And I know from the narrative that I've been hearing that for the most part, most Grand Bahamians has more or less a disdain for the port, right?
But exactly. So that's not.
But you, as the prime minister, I don't think you have to show impartiality. You have to be able to be in, and that is my opinion. Okay, you know, because it seemed like he went down there just to rally up his rally up the troops, you know, to make this even a worse situation. You know, and I think the prime minister should be able to negotiate with individuals and investors behind closed door, and like it's already according to him in arbitration, right? According to him, it will move to the arbitrary stage or whatever. But you've gone there just to me. That's how I see it. I'm to get your supporters to come along with you so that you can make them feel like you are for Grand Bahama. You've promised them $300 million worth of stuff during the by-election, which you haven't delivered on us yet. You know, but anyhow,
here's the thing for me. In the business of governing, you are going to upset people. So if the upset support, that's neither here nor there for me, because the Port Authority does things that upsets the public. So the Bahamian public from time to time, that's part of their business and what have you. So that's not what bothers me. But when you present a case to me, when you present an argument to me, I would expect that the argument can withstand scrutiny.
True.
Because it is factual, it is rational, and you know, it really is
airtight.
Something.
I'm talking about
you presenting the case as the government.
Right.
Okay? You know, I'm not talking about if you're a political leader and you decide you're gonna have a rally for your team, because that's not the context the Prime Minister was in. The Prime Minister was speaking to the Chamber of Commerce. Okay, so it would be on the Chamber of Commerce to listen and to ask the question, but is this true? Is the government responsible for the redevelopment of downtown, as the Prime Minister said?
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as I'm aware, the answer to that is totally no.
Right.
As far as I'm aware. Right. So I would query that. When the Prime Minister says, well, the port isn't doing this and the port isn't doing that, so all these things that the port as a municipality is not doing, why would a citizen not turn back on the government and say, yeah, but you aren't doing this in East Grand Bahama, you aren't doing that in West Grand Bahama, so that in some ways you could say the same condemnation that you put on the port is a condemnation that could fall on yourself.
But I understand from Laverne, who was on Dwight's show this morning, that it was, you know, like they only answered, so you had to send in your questions and whatnot, and they had five questions that he quickly answered and whatnot, and it really had very little to do with a lot of the things that, you know, they thought that it was going to be more or less like, you know, an interactive, you know, type of dinner, but it was more or less a press conference, a speech, you know. It wasn't something that you could have asked and said, well, listen, I want you to clarify this so we can get a better understanding of where you're coming from.
I appreciate you calling always.
People came with their questions and they went home with their questions.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you calling. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, is another... This text says, Mr. Lang, are you saying the Grand Bahama Port Authority don't owe the government any money? Question of the assets that being sold was an example of the Grand Bahama Port Authority selling of their assets and not paying their bills. Please explain the insurance money that was paid for the damages to the airport. Where did that go? Pricewaterhouse is their firm involved in this form for the government. Do you, Mr. Lang, think Pricewaterhouse would get involved if it was a case? Well, I'm going to answer all your questions for you real quickly. Your first question is, am I saying that the Grand Bahama Port Authority don't owe the government any money? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, I don't know if the Grand Bahama Port Authority owes the government money, and neither do you. And just because the government sent the Grand Bahama Port Authority a bill doesn't mean that it owes them money either. And just because PricewaterhouseCoopers did it doesn't mean that the Grand Bahama Port Authority owes them money, because I don't know what instructions were given to Pricewaterhouse. I don't know what PricewaterhouseCoopers looked at. I don't know all the details of how they determine how a customs officer who attends to matters in both Freeport, East Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, Bimini, Abaco, and other places, how they accounted for their expense in respect of the government's expenses. I don't know that. I don't know how many taxes the government has collected vis-a-vis the expenses the government says they make in the Freeport area. I have no knowledge of any of those things. And anyone prosecuting this case would need to know all those details before they could definitively clap, applaud, or say anything about who owes or don't owe anyone anything. Okay, that's how life works. Just because somebody, see, let me tell you something. You might, this may be how you and I get trapped. So a distinguished lawyer comes and says, you're guilty of something and we're gonna sue you. And you just swallow that up and accept it because wow, that's a distinguished lawyer. Distinguished accounting firm says, this is what you owe. And you accept that because this is a distinguished accounting firm because accounting firms don't make mistakes. Or they don't, on the basis of what they were instructed, do not give an accounting that may in fact not reflect all the facts because the other side could show and demonstrate how they may have missed some things. I mean, I don't live in that world. I don't operate in that world. That's the reason why accounting firms can be taken to court and be challenged by lawyers who bring other accounting firms to say how that accounting firm made mistakes. Let me ask you a question. Did not Enron have an accounting firm? Did FTX have one? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing? Great, thank you. So, Mr. Lang, we heard from the Prime Minister. Have we heard from the Port Authority in a rebut of that as yet?
Yeah, because this speech was given last night, you know.
Okay, so you holding reservations as your comments.
But there are some contents in the speech that they're not about the port. They are about comments the Prime Minister makes, which as a personal involvement in Freeport, I myself can query. You see what I mean?
Okay.
So for instance, when the Prime Minister says that they are, government is responsible for the redevelopment downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot see that. They cannot see it. Cannot see how that is conceivable or possible.
Right. Right.
You see what I mean? Yep. And I'm talking about a downtown I go to every single, practically every day.
I totally agree. I've seen it too.
Yeah. I can't explain that. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
You're quite welcome. This text says, good afternoon, Shivago. Help us to understand what is really at work here between the government and the Grandmama Port Authority. The government says the GPPA owes us $300 million plus dollars, but the GPPA says we owe you nothing. This is as far as night is from day. How could this be possible? How could this possibly happen? It can happen when two sides are operating on two different sets of information, right? And this is why you go to arbitration, because the arbiters who are supposed to be now objective facilitators of the dialogue can say, okay, but this doesn't hold water. That holds water. What about this? What about that, right? And so, you know, you get to select some of the arbiters. The court gets to select some of the arbiters. And so that's how you kind of try to get at what the truth is. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm right here, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I have an issue with one of the statements the Prime Minister made.
Okay.
With regards that homes were being held up because licensees, because contractors couldn't get their license renewed because they would.
Yeah.
License fees and service charges.
Yeah, yeah,
and
so forth, yes,
and
so forth. Yeah.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but East Grand Bahama, in particular Freetown and onwards to McLeanstown, Sweden's Key, were mostly affected, right?
Absolutely. Some places in Freeport were affected,
yeah,
for
some,
sure, but they were,
there were some in Freeport,
they were nearer to East. Yeah, yeah.
The majority
of
those
was
East and Freeport.
Yeah.
And again,
yes,
that is the government area, which contractors don't need the Port Authority license to operate in that particular area.
No, they need a government license.
Do homes in that area pay service charges to the Port Authority?
They do not. No, they pay real property taxes, if any.
So again, how can the Prime Minister say that homes were held up because contractors weren't current, homeowners weren't current.
I will ask you another question, because I also called my attention to my attention. Here's the thing. Where if you owe the government of the Bahamas money, say for inland revenue and what have you, and cannot get your business compliance certificate. And how many businesses can you not do because of that?
You can't do no business. You can't even get a government contract without that.
Okay. Okay. Now, if you don't have a, if you don't have your real property taxes paid up and you're trying to sell a property, right? Can you sell that property?
No.
Okay. So the Port Authority says, well, you're trying to do business, but you don't have a license in the Freeport area. And you, because you're not paid up, and what? So you can, and the port says, but you can't. I can't therefore allow you to get the permit to do this because that's the situation. And the government says no, but it's because people were. This was Dorian related, but you know how many people struggling with their business to be able to get to pay their staff, but have an overhang maybe attached to a non-compliance certificate, a compliance certificate, and the government doesn't say, yeah, but you know, there's a struggle in behavior. Let me get, so what's the difference?
Well, let me give an example of what I'm going through. I went to collect my deeds from the bank, and the bank would not release my deeds unless my real property chart, my real property taxes are paid up.
Absolutely. But you're a billionaire, right?
No, far from it. I wish I was. I wish I even had a billionaire in my family.
No, man, but you're a billionaire, because it doesn't matter that you can't.
So I think that speech, that's what it was just pandering to the supporters, and not really pandering to the facts or the issues that we in Grand Bahama face. Because if it was, it would have been an open mic environment where the residents, where the business owners in Grand Bahama would have been able to speak and would have been able to ask the government questions with regards to this issue with the Port Authority.
Yeah. I just thought that the case that was made seemed to me problematic on the face of it, because in some instances, like, you could say, well, was it accurate or factual, or doesn't this also tend to the government of the Bahamas, et cetera? For instance, you in Grand Bahama, right?
Yeah.
So on the one hand, the prime minister says all these things that are happening in Freeport, like the carnival and the container port and what have you. And he's saying the port, that yeah, the port is the last. Really?
Well, I mean, what bothers me more about the whole thing, the government is talking about the lack of development in the Freeport area, and the government has direct responsibility over East Grand Bahama and West Grand Bahama. Why don't you lead by an example?
That's an argument. That's an argument many are making. But in any event, how is it possible? So, for instance, let me give you an example. The Carnival project, it's Carnival, right?
Yes, Carnival.
Yeah, the Carnival project was being negotiated under Hubert Alexander Ingram.
Well, so was the.
Do you all remember when the first site for it was, the consideration for it was Williamstown?
Yeah, and then remember went east of Stadol.
Exactly.
Then they came back into the Freeport area.
Exactly. So it is not possible for the Minnis administration, the Davis administration, to claim responsibility for that, given its legacy around there and what have you. Then you look at the Freeport, the container port expansion, that too was being negotiated under the Ingram administration.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. That deal was in the works for years. That was in the works.
For years. So if the port cannot claim responsibility for it, who can?
Well, you know, like I said, I think that whole thing was just a punter to the supporters, and I think that all of this is just a lead up to the election to try and show the people of Freeport that, hey, listen, we was fighting for you. We're the only government that's fighting for you. But I urge people in Guantanamo to learn the facts. Learn the facts. Understand the facts. Just don't take with the prime minister. Understand the facts. Do your research and learn the facts. And you will fully understand that what the prime minister said was just pondering.
And it may well be true that the government is trying to fight for something, fight for the area or something like that. But if anyone is looking, though, the government will see that there are contradictions that one can point to in its narrative about this whole deal. That's the reality. There are contradictions in the narrative.
Mr. Lang, people will hear this and people will see this if they're listening and if they're looking.
Yeah,
they don't
possible.
Care to see
that's,
it.
But that's possible. That's possible.
You know,
that's possible.
My grandma told me one time ago, a jealous person will see things and hear things a regular person would never see and hear. So I'll hang up and I'll continue to listen. Good show as usual.
Thank you, man. Thank you for calling. This text says, good afternoon. Davis needs to take the lamp pole out of his eye and the PLP's eye before he tries to take the splinter out of the Grand Bahama Port Authority's eye. Look at the rest of this country. We can't run this properly. So they're trying to collect this money before June 30th to meet the fiscal deficit. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Shivago.
Yes, I.
Simeon here. One question as a layperson, with all the statistics you've given and the way I always commend you for having a balanced show, the one thing I cannot, as a citizen, get over is there seems to be an area in the Bahamas that the government does not have ultimate control over. And I wouldn't want, in my house, there's a room in my house I can't deal with.
Do you know, Bishop's Hall, you just answered your own query? Let me explain to you. Yeah, I'm telling you why. Can the government come and tell you how to run your house?
Oh, no. But I could tell who runs my house.
Hold on. Just follow me. Can the government come on your property without your permission? Unless the court gives them permission to do so? Okay.
No.
So what people miss is this. Like it or not, a contract was entered into to lease the port area.
In 1951?
Five, in 55.
So don't you think we should review that?
No, but Bishop, just follow me for a minute. See, because the reviewing is irrelevant because even if you wanted to change it, the only way to change it is with the parties to the agreement.
Okay.
Okay, just like any contract. If you and I entered into a contract and I got ticked off and thought some things were unfair, there's no way to change it, saving it except you and I open up the contract again and agree to do so. Agreement. There's a lease. And the lease is over the port area. So just how if I lease my apartment to somebody, I can't just treat the people apartment like I want no more. Oh, I go in there whenever I want. I tell the people how to do this and that in my apartment, etc. Because I leased the apartment to them. And that is in law.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So this is not as if I don't have control. Of course you don't have control over it anymore. You leased it out.
To be honest, there's something egregious in the original signature.
But I can imagine
if I am in my house and I can't tell the person who on my land, whatever the planning, whatever
Bishop, sir, you have a flaw in your thinking on this to this extent. Once you have leased it, you may still be the owner, but you have given a contractual benefit to the person you leased it to.
I see your logic, but
the original. This is not my logic. This is the law. This is the law.
Okay.
The law. Okay, and this is very important for Bahamians to understand because I don't. They don't like this bending in that direction of as if the court is doing something illegal.
Right, right.
Or doing something improper. That's not true. And let me tell you something, sir. My mother, father, brothers, sisters, Uncle Annie's friends, we've lived in Freeport area for a long time. And you know what? When you know what life is like? When things are going great, everybody's happy. And when things ain't going so great, then
they look
find
at the port.
Things about. Right? And I'm not saying that the Port Authority has many sins for which to repent. Right? There are things that they have not done well, for sure. But I don't think this attempt to cast the port as some demon evil operating illegally and irrationally in the Bahamas is an appropriate thing. I do not believe that to be so.
But how the deal, the items in the deal in 1950s might have been egregious.
Well, why was it egregious? The item in the deal was this. You have a pine barren. Put a port there. Do we have a port there? Create a city there. Do we have a city here? Where else in the Bahamas outside of Nassau do you see a city? Where else, sir?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the deal
was
constructed
to benefit.
It
was bad. That's how I see it, you know. But I like your fair balance. So I told you I worked down there as a boy in 1963. And I remember when you had to leave Freeport in the evening and go to one little barracks they had us living in. But be that as it may, it just seemed that it was something wrong.
But Bishop, you didn't have to leave. That wasn't true. That was just
no. There was nowhere for us to stay in Freeport.
But Bishop, do you know I once did not live in Nassau. I did not have a place to stay in Nassau. So you know what I would do? If I traveled to Nassau for an event, I would make sure I could come back the same day. I couldn't stay in the hotel if I didn't have the money to do so. That nobody made me do that. The circumstances were such that I could not do it.
Right.
You can't cast that on somebody.
Okay.
So my point
maybe
is...
Maybe more conversation between the two parties should be held then.
Well, that has always been what has prevailed in Freeport and gotten things done, right? I happen to have lived under a time when Hubert Alexander Ingram engaged with the port and they were able to get any number of things done for the benefit of the people of Grand Bahama to the extent that the unemployment rate in Grand Bahama got to a low that hadn't been seen in that people had been able to spring businesses in Grand Bahama that they had not been able to spring in decades because people spoke and discussed and were able to get things done. This is the same Freeport and Port Authority that saw Hutchison, the container port, saw Bradford Marine, saw the shipyard, and a host of other things at a time where Bahamians had gotten so much money, they built all kinds of apartment complexes around this place. That is the lived experience of Chivago, Sean Lang, and others in Freeport for in the 90s under the same Hawksbill Creek Agreement and Port Authority. And they
were
still imperfect then.
Thank you for helping me to clarify and do about it. I just think that the thing was begun in a bad way. It shouldn't have been signed then and for so long. But, as you say, they have done nothing illegal. So the court
will... I could imagine what life would have been like for the rest of us here. If I look at the rest of the Bahamas as an example, we would be living where? In a settlement? That's where we'd be living. And the opportunities and fortunes that followed might not have been ours. Then what?
Yeah.
Right? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Bless you, man.
You too, sir. This text says, I understand that this is a talk show, but sir, every week your stance on this change. Nothing about the pain GBPA was infecting on us for years. So you are about, man, sir, with the greatest respect to you, you are talking absolute nonsense. Nonsense. My stance has changed nothing, and you cannot give me one example of any stance of mine that has changed. Absolute nonsense, rubbish. Because you yourself are so enamored with this speech and so forth, you now want to accuse me of taking a different stance. Absolute rubbish, nonsense. I have been consistent in my talk and discussion on the Port Authority for decades, consistent. And you know, all of these shows are recorded. So if you wish, please go get them. Point out the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 instances where I change my stance on an issue. You're talking nonsense because you are hurt that I am not in support of your enthusiasm for this speech. And I didn't tell you before, you're talking to me. Talking to me. My head is clearer than that. Much clearer. I thank God for it. I thank God. If you're enthusiastic about it and you like the things that you heard, et cetera, then be happy with that. But don't try now come and attack me because I disagree with you. I don't do that to you. You're talking nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Oh, Lord of mercy. This text, there was another speech where the PM gave some details in Parliament that he had to later admit were wrong. I can't recall what the exact subject. I wonder if the PM knows any of the intricate details of this case or if he's again just reading texts written for him. Hey, actually, I don't think the PM is not aware of the details. I don't think so at all. I think the Prime Minister is making a case. So Granbaum is lagging behind Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador too. Prime Minister, after countless hurricanes, let's take a trip to Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador, and then go to Grand Bahama. Let's define lagging behind. Yeah, okay. So Chicago, this Port Authority and the government's fight is a national interest situation, and the government cannot, through public questions and answer, because what they say may be used against them in court, in a court of law. Chivalry is like when you all sold BTC, that was not up for discussion because Papa said that was of national interest. And we didn't answer any questions. People asked me questions all day. And I answered every one of them. Brendan Jones used to say, boy, one thing with you, you ain't trying to duck nobody and so forth and so forth. Right? This is a national interest issue for sure. And no question about it. You're nailing it. Well, honestly, I can be honest with you all. That, I'm being restrained. I really am. See, Freeport ain't no news for me. Okay? This is just news for me. I came to Freeport when I was 7 years old. My mother brought me here. So this is a lived reality for me. And as a person trained in economics, finance, and business, I have and can use my keen eye and observation skills. Someone with extensive knowledge and experience in public policy and government, I can use all of these tools to examine what is said. And I'll be honest with you all, I am challenged some days to say the things I say because I do not know how people's feelings will be moved by it. I that's the truth. I do not. But I vowed when I took this show, I vowed to carry water for no man or woman. So I try to be fair in my commentary. I try to speak objectively. Even though some of y'all carry on. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Chicago Lang.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
I'm Freeport also, right there in the National Bazaar, along with your mummy and my mummy.
For many years.
Huh? Yeah, many years ago. All right, yeah. Let me ask you something. Who in the National Bazaar?
Sorry, who say again?
Who owned the International Bazaar?
Several people own the International Bazaar. Several people. The Port Authority does not own the International Bazaar, no.
They don't own it, but they're responsible for it, right?
No, they're not. Then they're responsible for the fact that if it's derelict, maybe they feel compelled to do something about it, but they do. But it's a private property. It's privately owned by,
the hotel towers. Well, and the Bahama Princess.
Those are owned by private entities as well. And the last owners of them was an Irish group.
And long as the owner don't fix it, Port don't have nothing to worry about, right? But you know that's the main road, right?
But what's the main road? What's the main road?
They built a beach right in the middle of the road.
Yeah, and when Cubitt Alexander Ingraham and Shivago Lang, those were in government, the permission to do so was something that we conceded.
You really
to.
Know who you're talking to, Shivago?
I don't know, but it does.
All right,
I just know.
Vera DeVoe? Yeah. That's Frankie grandmommy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yeah, man.
Right, that's my mommy.
Yes, my mommy good friend.
Yes. I listen to your show every day, you know.
I appreciate it.
A couple times I call you, but it wasn't important. I just didn't want to know who owned these buildings because...
Yeah.
But I understand that the government's stepping into downtown and re-function downtown. That's there by Food Fair and Winn-Dixie.
And that's that building is owned by the Brookings.
That's still in Waken?
What?
That still isn't Waken downtown.
Well, what you mean it ain't Waken? It's much better than it used to be. Man, you and
okay.
I are shopping down there.
Okay, I lived there from 09.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're not in Freeport now?
Man, I live in right here now. So Francis and Jane, those two hurricanes.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to visit downtown. Downtown looks
a
lot.
My home is in Arden Forest.
Okay, downtown looks a lot better than it used to be, and it functions a lot better than it used to be.
Okay. I respect that.
All right, my friend. All right, so you take care, man. It's good to hear from you. This text says, stop your foolishness about being hurt whenever someone... Man, please, man. Please. Save your text. Save your text. Don't always say anything you always say to me and then expect me to sit down and listen to nonsense. But seriously? And then you get hurt and don't want me to tell you are hurt. Anyways, listen. I think that you should take some time, if you haven't, read a speech, listen to the speech your own self. And you can share your thoughts on the matter. I can tell you one thing. I've heard from people I highly respect, and they have had some thoughts and views about it, for sure. I sometimes do that because I want to check to see whether maybe my cockeyed or cross-eyed or jaundiced perspective might just be a little off. And just because they say so don't mean it isn't, but I'm just saying. Because I thought it was extraordinary. Not extraordinary in a magnificent way, let's say, but it's in a way. So there was another speech. This says, I prefer the GPPA in charge of Freeport than this government. I don't want Freeport to be and look like West End. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. God spares life. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. We'll talk to you again next time.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822. Message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Attention all New Providence customers. Are you ready to spring into savings and make this Mother's Day unforgettable? from April 26th to May 9th. Pay your water and sewage bill in full and get a chance to win big. That's right. Simply pay your bill and you'll be automatically entered to win a stunning 55-inch smart TV. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to treat yourself or that special mom in your life. Visit any of our water and sewage offices to learn more. Spring into savings and make this Mother's Day one to remember. Water and sewage committed to growth, committed to quality. And conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.